Dave Fremstad is here from Deaf Missions at my invitation. They didn't call up and go, hey, can we come down there and talk to you people? I said, I'd really love to have you come down so that we can put a face with a name and a partnership. And so it's really my honor to present to you Dave Fremstad, and he's going to speak with us this morning.
Thanks for the opportunity to be here today, and really thank you for the partnership that you guys have began with us at Deaf Missions to help us see through this goal of bringing God's Word to deaf people around the world through sign language. It means a lot that your church is willing to do so.
No? All right. It helps if I turn it to on. You know, my background is actually pastoral ministry. I've pastored churches most of my life. And in the last church I served at in Iowa, I was able to meet our director and founder of Deaf Missions. And we became friends over the years. And we would meet regularly for coffee and hold each other accountable, pray for each other's ministry, pray for our families. And it was in one of those early morning coffees one day that our director, Chad, told me about this position that I'm now in. He said, you know, I'm really looking for someone who can willing to travel to churches and talk about our ministry and just share not only the need but the opportunity that's there to impact deaf lives around the world. And as Chad was sharing that with me, I really sensed God was nudging me to say, that's for you. You know, but if you're like me, sometimes when God nudges you, the first thing we do is like, you know, I don't want to do that, Lord. And I had every excuse in my mind not to follow God's leading on that. But God kept prompting me and nudging me, and it wouldn't go away. So about a week later, I composed this long email to our director. And I said, Chad, you remember when you were telling me about that position? Well, I really feel that God wants me to step into that role, but then I listed every reason why He should not hire me. You know, I didn't know any sign language at the time. I didn't even have any deafness in my family. Hardly knew a deaf person. You know, every reason under the sun not to do it. And the thing about email, though, is once you click send, it's gone. You know, so after writing this long email, I kind of went like this and hit send, and off it went. And that began a series of conversations over the time that led me to leave pastoral ministry 3 years ago and step into Deaf Missions full time. And I love doing what I do and sharing about our ministry and coming to churches like North Point with the opportunity to really share about how you guys have come on board to partner with us in impacting lives. Deaf lives around the world. When I made that transition, I had some people ask me, you know, when they heard about I was going to Deaf Missions, they said, well, are you going to learn Braille? And I said, well, no, they're deaf, not blind. So, and that just kind of reaffirmed to me that, you know, I got my work cut out for me, you know, because a lot of people, and myself included, just, you know, the deaf world was just not on my radar. So I had a lot of awareness and education in my life, and a lot of what I do now is just not only about deaf missions, but awareness about the need for deaf ministry in general. Wherever I like to go, I like to teach some American Sign Language, so at least I can say I accomplished something in my trip to Lewisville, Texas. So I want to teach you some today. So go ahead and take your right arm and hold it at about a 90-degree angle like that. And then with your hand, bring it in towards your head, back out, back in, back out. That's how you say hi in sign language. All right, my work here is done. I can go. No. You know, when I remember as a boy, I was learning to read, and I came across a new word that I had not read before, and it was the word whale. And I didn't know how to say it, didn't know what it was, so I went to my dad in the next room, and I said, Dad, what's this word? And instead of him just telling me that, you know, this is it's whale, and it's a large sea-going mammal that swims in the ocean, instead he said, well, Dave, sound it out. And we sounded it out. Whale. And I was able to learn a new word. And that memory stuck in my mind, not so much about the definition of whale, but how my dad taught me to say it and to learn it. Now imagine for a moment a world where that kind of learning style is not even available. Where limits and barriers of language prevent and inhibit learning in general. Imagine a world where there are people that are pushed aside, neglected, forgotten, even marginalized. Well, that world exists right here where we're at. Because there's truly an unreached people group in the truest sense of the word right here. Now, they don't live in a specific country. You can't get a passport and get on a plane and travel to XYZ country to meet these people and minister to us, because they're right here among us. They look like us. They dress like us. And you wouldn't be able to pick them out in a room. I'm talking about the deaf. Now, imagine the world again where those kind of barriers are removed, where inclusion and availability becomes the norm, where those walls of learning and language, where those barriers are torn down. See, this is a whale of a story. And not just because I learned the word whale as a boy, but it's a whale of a problem and a whale of a solution. See, the problem is that how can you learn an auditory language and navigate and live in a world based on sound when you cannot hear? And even a deeper issue is, how can a person learn about God, learn about the deep things of God's love for us, when almost all of the resources, when all the Bibles and teaching is for the hearing and done through sound? See, it's a whale of a problem, but also points to a solution as well. And that's God's story, the gospel. Now, I love to read. I love a good movie. I love a good story. And a good story is one that draws us in, that connects with us on different levels. It holds us captive. You know, good nonfiction stories quite often have heroes and villains. There's conflict and tension. There's resolve. And in the end, there's either victory or failure. Those are the kind of stories that we like, because they hold us captive. We can identify with them and they impact us. Now think of God's story for a moment in that same light. Think of the gospel. You know, we can identify with it, can't we? The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, a verse that I can relate with and identify with, because he says in verse 15 of Romans 7, "I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." And I read a verse like that and I think, man, that's me sometimes. You know, I want to do right, I want to do good, but sometimes I just blow it. I make mistakes. And I can identify with what I read in Scripture. But we also know that Scripture impacts us for eternity. Because just a couple verses earlier in Romans 5, it says this: while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, talk about impact. It's impactful because we can understand what's being said. Yes, there is. We can identify with Scripture. It impacts us. We know it. And it does so because we can understand it in our language. You see, the solution is God's story in our heart language. Now, for the deaf, their native and heart language, their first language, is American Sign Language here in the U.S. Now, American Sign Language is not just English with hand motions to it. American Sign Language is as unique a language as Spanish is, or Russian, or Japanese. It has its own syntax, its own word order. It's a visual language. Deaf people will describe English as being flat because it's on a printed page. But sign language utilizes the full body. It's not just the hands. It utilizes the shoulders, the eyes, the head, where you look. It helps communicate meaning. For example, the sign for work is this. But if you want to add to it and you want to communicate hard work, it involves the face. And you go, exhale. If you want to say lazy work, you go, you know. So it involves the face. You know, think about how much you can communicate with your eyes alone. You raise your eyebrows, you know, you're happy, you're excited. You crunch your eyebrows together, or you're angry, you're mad. You know, when my wife looks at me with her eyes, I know exactly what she's saying without ever, you know, a word ever being said. You can communicate a lot with the face alone. Sign language communicates in concepts and images, not just word by word. An example I like to give is from Scripture is in 1 Corinthians 13, where we read these words in English. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. So for our English minds and our auditory language, that sequence makes sense. We understand the logic of it, and you know we can grasp it. Now, a literal transliteration of how you would sign that scripture would be something like this. Before me, small, me think kid, me do kid. Later, me grow man, and me kid stop. So you can see how the word order is different, and sign language leaves off a lot of the ifs, ands, and buts, but the concept is still the same. It still communicates the same meaning. Now think about in our Christian lives, in our Christian world, all the resources that we have at our disposal. I mean, I can go into the Christian bookstore and pick out just a myriad of different resources that are there to help me grow in my faith. I can pick up commentaries on Scripture. I can read theology books. There's a myriad of music to choose from to encourage me in my faith. All that is available. In my office alone, I mean, I have a shelf full of Bibles. And on my shelf, I have the ESV Bible, the NIV, the NASB, the CIA, and the FBI all sitting next to each other, you know. We have those resources available to us. But for deaf people, they do not have yet one complete Bible in sign language anywhere in the world. Deaf Mission started translating the Bible into sign language in 1980, and we've completed the New Testament in 2004. And from 2004 to 2014, a 10-year period, we either gave away or sold 6,000 copies of the New Testament, which is pretty good. Well, in 2014, an app was launched called Deaf Bible, and since then, there's been 1 million free downloads of Scripture into American Sign Language. See, for the first time in history, with smartphones, deaf people can carry it around in their pocket just like we can carry our Bibles around. Before that, it had to be DVDs, and before that, those clunky VHS tapes that you put on a TV, so you're limited by the access that you would have. You know, one of the ladies at Deaf Missions is named Brenda. And Brenda told me the story one day of how, growing up, she really struggled reading English because it was not her first language. It was her second language. And as a result, it was never her primary means of communication, what she would prefer to communicate in. And because she struggled with English, she really struggled with the concept of God. Because if all you had to learn about God was a Bible in a different language, yeah, you after some classes or some study, you might be able to read a little bit, but it's always going to be an understanding barrier there. And Brenda struggled with her concept of God. She struggled with this idea that God would love her because she saw God, that God was a God for the hearing, that everything was for the hearing people. And as a deaf woman, she just didn't get that he would love a deaf person. Well, when Brenda was in her 40s, she first discovered the American Sign Language version of the Bible. And for the first time in her life, she was able to see Scripture come to life in her language. She understood it and it impacted her. And she surrendered her life to Christ, was baptized into Him, and is now living as a disciple of Jesus because she was able to see it and understand it in her language. And I love Brenda's story because that is the story of so many deaf people here in the U.S. You know, God's Word reminds us that it's for all people. No one is to be excluded. You know, in Psalm 96, the psalmist writes these words in verse 2 and 3. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations and His marvelous works among all the peoples. All the peoples. when I read that verse, I thought, you know, I really need to figure out what that means and study it. So I went back to the original language. I looked at Hebrew, and I found out that all the peoples means all the people. There's no one excluded. And that means the deaf and the hearing and those of you with what we call selective hearing, you know, and you know who you are. You know, no one is to be left behind. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, Luke records for us where he entered the synagogue and sat down and read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened up and read from Isaiah, he kind of inaugurated his ministry with the words of Scripture that were going to set the tone for why he was there in the first place. And he reads from Isaiah chapter 61 where it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Other versions say to proclaim freedom for captives and release from darkness to those in slavery. See, Jesus comes to bring us liberty and freedom. That verses that he read from Isaiah 61 refer to the year of Jubilee where all the slaves are returned, where freedom is proclaimed. No longer are there captives. There's opportunity to run free. And think about that when there's access to all of God's Word. And that's cause for celebration. Spiritual bonds, restrictions are thrown off when God's Word is available and understood for all people. I mean, it's the most complete kind of freedom. I like to think of that as the original Emancipation Proclamation right there. That all humanity is free through God's Word. You see, darkness has been removed when God's Word becomes available to the deaf through American Sign Language. You know, God's story is for all. This last summer, I had the opportunity to go to the country of Moldova. Deaf Missions is beginning to branch out into international sign language translation work. And Moldova is a country that's been asking us for years to come and begin to work on the Moldovan Sign Language Bible. So we went last summer to investigate and research it and begin that process. And part of our time there, we visited deaf churches around the country. And we would, as we were at the churches, we'd meet deaf leaders and share about our ministry and share why we were there, that we were going to come and bring them God's Word in Moldovan Sign Language. And as a hearing person, that trip really impacted me. Because after we did our introductions and told a little bit about Deaf Missions, the other gentlemen that were with us, they began to talk about how we're going to work with you to bring God's Word to you in your sign language. And I sat over on the side during one service and I watched the deaf people in the congregation. And at first, you know, as they're talking about who we were and our ministry, they're being very polite, you know, like we often are in church. You know, we'll just sit and listen and, you know, do this. But then as they began to talk about bringing God's Word to them in their language, their whole countenance changed. All of a sudden, their eyes got wide. Their mouth literally dropped open, and they leaned forward because they were so excited that they would have the opportunity to see God's Word in their language. And that just hit me as a hearing person on how much we take for granted that we have available to us. You know, for the first time in history, they're going to be able to see God's Word in the way that they want to, in the way that they can communicate. You know, there's a young man named Edgar who, again, shares the story of how he struggled with English. But when he was able to see God's Word in sign language, his life was really changed and transformed. I have a short video this morning that I want to show you about Edgar that communicates that. So take a look at this short video. Now, I love Edgar's story because it talks about the impact that Scripture can make in a person's life. It's a whale of an impact because it's an eternal impact. And folks, eternity is at stake. You know, it's a whale of a problem, but how do you eat a whale, right? One bite at a time. And how is Deaf Missions tackling that problem? Well, by translating one verse at a time. verse by verse, book by book, through the entire Bible. We tackle it one life at a time, transformed by the power of God's Word. So what does your partnership to us mean? It means more verses are translated. It means more translators are trained to help us finish this task. It means more lives are being transformed and impacted by God's Word in sign language. I'd like to close today with a picture of what worship is going to be like in the end. In Revelation chapter 7, it describes this mosaic of ethnicity, this mosaic of people gathering together to worship God. And there it says in Revelation 7, it says, "Behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, and all peoples, and all languages, including sign languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, crying out that salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Man, I long for that day. Long for that day where I'm going to be praising God next to my brothers and sisters in sign languages and every other language around the world. Man, that's what it's all about. That all people have the opportunity to worship our God.